Girale, Jai Jai Girale, Jai Jai Girale.
So this is February 5th, 2023, Radhakundam. And Magh Purnima is today, tonight, and it's at about 12 o'clock. And we're discussing tasting Bhakti Rasa Manjri Bhav Sadhana. In the last class we had, we discussed about the experiences of Smaran by advanced devotees. They actually enter the Leela of Radha and Krishna and bring back things from the Leela. They bring back things from the spiritual world, like perfume, smell of perfume, or colors. They get colors on them and all kinds of things they bring back from their meditation to confirm reality of their meditative world. And there's a story in one Purana, which is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of a South Indian Brahmin meditating on cooking sweet rice and offering it to his Thakur in meditation. And he wanted to see in meditation whether the sweet rice was too hot. He put his finger in, and it was too hot and it burned, and he woke up and came out of his meditation and didn't see that dream anymore, but his finger was burned. So that proves that he actually, his meditative sweet rice was being offered to the Lord. We just read a funny thing this morning. I don't know if anybody's ever remembered it. I read the book so many times, so I don't remember this. But it was in Madhyan Leela Radhakund. Radha and Krishna just had their intimate pastimes in the Kunja together, enjoying. They drank Madhvika nectar, which means Kadambari nectar, which is a hidden way of saying wine, flower wine. And now they're sleepy. So it said Radharani went in the Kunja's sleep, and five mandris went in the fanner. It's on page 213 of Avanasara Sangra. I was reading this morning and I was amazed. I said, what is this? Five fans. And usually we turn on one fan. We imagine five fans, that's a lot of fans. That's really hot stuff. That might be. Madhvika nectar makes you pretty overheat, I guess. 5 seconds, five chamarans. I looked at it, I was reading this one, I said, is this correct? And I went back and read it again. I said, well, that's correct. So in our discussion, we're reading about Smaran. We're going to discuss a little about Smaran, because there's a nice discussion here. Because this is the basic, our basic practice is Smaran, remembering, meditating and remembering, trying to remember Radha and Krishna. So Gaudiya Vaishnava is about Siddhasarup. We have to transform our identity from our ordinary physical body to our ultimate identity is Siddhadeya, which is accomplished by acts of seva. This is an important point. That how do we realize our Siddhadeya's mandris? By doing seva, by meditating on seva. We're always reading about sevas, Vilakusa Mandri, Rara Siddhanti. So many books are reading about mandris doing seva. So that's how we realize and how we attain our Siddhadeya, because the Siddhadeya is a Bhavdeya, it's made of Bhav and it's made of transcendental energy. And it's for seva, a 24-hour seva. There's no rest for the mandris, they're doing seva. So this is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, part Eastern Division, First Division, Chapter 2, Verse 295. That's the verse where he says, Seva Sadhguru Vena Sirupena Chachi. So he's saying, doing seva in your sadhguru and seva in your mandris group. So it's seva which gives you the realization. In sadhguru, you do seva and you realize I'm a servant. Because our sarupa, our constitutional nature, every jiva, jivara sarupaya, Krishna, and Siddhas. Who's serving Krishna? Everyone's enjoying. Everyone's trying to enjoy this body and this world. No one's doing seva to Krishna, but that's our original constitutional position. Every jiva is to serve Krishna. So how do we realize that? By doing seva. That's why you see when you read about the biographies of different gurus and different successful devotees, they always talk about seva. I did guru seva. Seva is the most important thing. Most modern devotee type people, they're busy studying. They always read and study. They don't do any seva. Of course, studying itself is also seva. It's called shravanam. Shravanam. Hearing is also, reading and studying is also seva. But seva also means practical seva. Because in the meditative world, in our siddhaya, we're not just reading Ramayana. We're not reading Mahabharata in the spiritual world. We're doing practical seva. We're brushing hair. We're cleaning Radharani's latrine. We're lighting incense. We're cooking. We're assisting. We're doing physical seva with our spiritual body. So even as sadhaka, that's why Rupa Goswami is saying, seva, seva sadhaka, seva sadhaka, and the word seva goes for siru. Seva and siru, seva and sadhaka. And what seva is guru seva. Guru is the one, guru is representing Krishna. So a progressive devotee will always be at guru's feet. Guru, give me some seva, give me some seva. That's a sign of an advanced devotee. Advanced devotee is one who's always begging Guru, please give me seva, what can I do now? So he translates, this author translates acts of seva as religious performance. So Rupa Goswami says that seva should be done in the sadhaka group and the siddha group. And by doing internal meditative modesty, it's called modesty seva. By doing modesty seva in our siddhaya and external acts of the sadhaka group, then we'll actually realize our spiritual identity as a servant of Krishna, as a servant of Radharani. Now he talks about lila smaran. The inner or mental sadhana is meditative technique known as lila smaran. Rupa Goswami explains this point in 1.2.294. Raghunuga Bhakti always lives in eternal Vrindavan in his mind and engages in service of Radharani in his group. The term smaran means remembering, bearing in mind, visualizing. It's an extremely prominent and important part of Vaishnava Bhakti sadhana. This concept of smaran is mentioned throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Tasmat sarveshu mamanusmara yujaja. Krishna is telling Arjuna on the battlefield, always meditate on me, always remember me. Sarvakal, all times remember me and do your work. So his work was shooting arrows. Our work is remembering and shooting Krishna, shooting pitch cards to Krishna in holy time. The gopis are shooting Krishna with colored syringes, pitch cards. So he quotes here in reference 8th chapter, verse 5 through 8. Can you tell me those verses, 5 through 8? No, what's number 5? 5, 6, 7, 8.
6.
Five, 8, 6, you know. Yam, yam, babi, shran, baba. What's 8, 5? Antakali. All these verses in Chaturvedic Gita, 5, 6, 7, and 8, are all about smaran, memory. The one we always quote is 8, 6. Yum, 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 yum. That's how you make good sweet rices, yum, yum. Yum, yum, Bobby Saran. You remember that sweet rice for a long time also. Yum, yum, Bobby Saran. Baba. Chacha Janti Kalevran Tam Tamayeti Kante Sadatad Baba Babita. And then 8, That's 85861 87.
Crank it. Tasmat sarveshu kalishu mamans.
I guess.
Tasmat sarveshu kalishu.
Yeah, that's it.
Mara yudhya cha mayar pita mano buddhir mame veshya sa samshaya.
What's 88? Tricky one. Come on, boys. I don't remember. Come on, team. North Indian, South Indian team. It was Olympics. Remember, smart guy Olympics. Three Brahmins here, what's going to happen? You got to strike out here, or what's happening? Where's your pocket Gita from Gita Press? Go get the Gita. Go on my blocker and get the Gita. So,
and this... Abhyasa Yoga Yukte.
Abhyasa Yoga Yukte.
Oh, you guys. Fast guys. Google fast guys. Faster than a speeding bullet. Superman. Super Google. But anyway, we're all fast and we like to look at the book. Touch reality touchdown. Books. Books. Real books. Nice. So smaran means to live in one's mental projections. The world of mental images or imagination is what means smaran. Let's see it. Holy Granth, Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 8, verse 8. There it is. What is it? So tell me, what is verse 8?
Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasananya Gamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Padana Chintayan.
Very good. What's the translation?
Do Abhyasa, if remembering. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasananya.
Abhyasa means practice. The person who practices fixing his mind without deviation on his Purusha, Param Purusha, on the Supreme Person, he attains him. So all these verses, because chapter 8 of Gita is also called, it's called Yoga of Attaining the Absolute. In brief, it's called the Death Chapter. Chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita is called the Death Chapter. It's all about remembering Krishna, it's about death. All that good thing is coming up soon. So Ramanuja defines meditation as constant remembrance, which is uninterrupted like the flow of pouring oil. And Ramanuja goes on to explain that meditation is a form of visualization. I'm always saying how to visualize. To do meditation, you need good powers of concentration, which means sattva-gun, sattva-vikahar, Savik Vichar, Savik Achar. Savik Ahar, pure eating and pure behavior. Achar and Ahar. Ahar means food and Achar means behavior. Savik Ahar, Savik Achar. We'll discuss that later also about getting up early and doing bhajan early in the morning. Because we have to rewind our clocks because our winter clocks went a little crazy. Cold makes people move slow. Bears move slow. Everybody moves slow. So now it's time to get wake up, thaw out, wake up, get fired up. Rewind your clock, get up every day at 3 a.m. No more sleeping until 7. Sunrise is 7, I get up at 5:07. No good. Time to put on the brakes, get back in the gear here, gang. The remembrance, smaran, takes the form of vision, darshan rup, and it possesses the character of immediate perception, pradyaksha. Remembrance is a form of direct perception, sakshatkara rupa. This is from Ramanujacharya. I want to see where this footnote is from. It's from Rama Sutra, Sri Vasya. It's a commentary of Vedanta Sutra by Ramanujacharya. Talking about smara meditation. So he says meditation is a form of, smara means visualization and smara means directly seeing. So when smaran, because the fifth stage of smaran is samadhi. What are the five stages of smaran?
Smarana, dharana, dhyana, dhruvanusmriti, and samadhi.
Thank you. Very good. So there's five states of remembrance or smaran, recollection. And they're all different intensities in visualization and different intensities of perceiving or having Krishna manifest. It says, darshanrup pradyaksha, pradyakshata, having the ta means having, the ending ta means having the quality of pradyaksha, means immediate perception, and direct perception means sakshakar, means Krishna gives direct darshan. Like I'm seeing you with my eyes, I can touch you. And you can see Krishna and touch him. It's described as Madhurya Kadamani also. The mental faculties in bhakti are focused exclusively around Krishna, with a view of generating bhakti towards Krishna and experiencing direct vision of Krishna. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.175, Jiva Goswami gives commentary about the five states of smaran. It's also in Bhakti, he comments on this in Bhakti Sandarbha 278. Read your Bhakti Sandarbha 278. He explains, the first step is simply called smaran. There's five levels of smaran, the first one's called smaran. Simple smaran. It means irregular reflection. Sometimes we remember and we forget. We sometimes remember. The second is dharan. Dharan, the word dharan means hold. Giri Raj Dharan. Giri Raj Dharan Teri Sharan. I take shelter. Teri Sharan means he's my shelter. The one who lives, dharan means hold. One who holds Giri Raj is Giri Raj Dharan. Giri Dari, Dari means hold. Vamshi Dari, hold the Vamshi. Haladar, Haladar, Dar means hold the plow. Hala means plow. So Dar means hold. Right? Vamshi Dari. So Dharan is the second stage of Smaran. And Jiva Goswami defines Dharan as withdrawing the mind from everything and fixing it on the object of meditation. That's why I repeatedly tell when you start your smaran, you should start by closing your eyes and visualizing the feet of Krishna and Radharani and all the symbols on their feet. Eight symbols on the bottom of Radharani's right foot, 11 symbols on her left foot, eight on Krishna's left foot, 11 on Krishna's right foot. And when I chant japa in the morning, first thing I do, I sit down and meditate. I have the book there in front of me in case I forget, which I don't forget because I can see the feet. And first you meditate on the feet of Krishna, how they're blue, and then the blue becomes red at the bottom, naturally red, and the toenails are so shiny, like smooth, like look like polished turtle shells. It says like that, some shells are like polished turtle shells. Very shiny feet, toenails, fingernails. And it looked like moonshine, very soothing, and red like rubies, but soothing like moonshine. So you try to see those, and he has a pile, it's kind of like a bracelet on his feet called pile, P-Y-L-E, I think. And he has ankle bells, and you try to see the feet, and then you visualize the bottom, how soft they are, and this and that. And that's nice. You meditate like that, and it develops your powers of concentration and visualization. And then after a while, you can have pradyaksha. You can see those feet. And that prepares your mind for meditating, because Leela is very involved and very detailed. The whole bodies are there, and all different exchanges and facial expressions. So first you fix your meditative powers by meditating on the feet and the symbols of the feet. We should be able to take out a piece of paper right now. Give everybody a piece of paper and write 1 through 8, 1 through 11, and tell me. I can't do that. You open the book, it's in our Chang, it's in that little meditation book, the lotus feet and divine forms of Radha Govinda. You look at it, meditate, and close your eyes, and you can just see it. And you see it more and more as you practice more and more. And then that prepares your mind and purifies your mind so and calms your mind so you can enter into meditation on Leela. And from there I go to Bhavanasara Sangraha. I read something, and I close my eyes, I meditate on what I read, and I read, I meditate. That's how I do it. She just does it a different way. But there's different ways. But my Guru Maharaj told me to use go through Govinda Leela Amrita, and this book is 80% Govinda Leela Amrita anyway. However you get there. Yeah, like go to Vrindavan. Some people go to Vrindavan, go to Mathura, and go to Vrindavan from Mathura. Some people go down this road. Some people go to Barcelona first and go that way. Some people take a helicopter. But the object is to get to Vrindavan. So you're in Leela, good. However you get there, it doesn't matter. there's not one way. But this is a general way, general accepted way, a more popular way is what I'm describing. The third step is dhyan. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, he defines this as meditation proper. Meditation means dhyan. Dhyan means meditation. Jiva Goswami Bhakti Sandarbha 278 describes dhyan as special meditation on the form and qualities of Radha and Krishna. That's why we have a book, 64 Qualities of Krishna, and Radharani's qualities are also there in other books. The fourth level is Dhruvana Smriti. This is a state of meditation, like dhyan, but it's uninterrupted. It goes on and on and on, like a continual shower of ambrosia. The final step is samadhi. This is the practice of smaran, where the object of meditation itself appears. You're meditating on Krishna and you see Krishna. If you're never meditating on Krishna's form, why won't Krishna ever show his form? Because many people say, I said this before last week or 2 weeks ago, I want to see Krishna, I want to see Krishna. Have you ever meditated on his form? No, why should I? I got better things to do, you know. I'm meditating on all kinds of things, looking at all kinds of nonsense on my phone. But I'm not meditating on Krishna's form and looking at a picture, a favorite picture of Krishna, and trying to meditate on that one picture. Like somebody came from Bombay, two housewives and a son, and a grown son, little kids. They came and they came to visit. And they were leaving, they looked in the door and they saw a painting of Radharani. I said, I've seen that picture on the internet. I said, have you seen pictures of my painting? This is the original painting, it's in here. It's very popular, it's all over the internet. They looked at it, I see that. I said, good, you're remembering Radharani. You recognize her. I said, if she ever gives you such a darshan, you'll recognize her. You won't think she's some girl from Bombay, you know. You'll notice the Shakti of Krishna, direct. So this is the goal. And smaran is a meditative technique, visualizing in the mind the Leela of Krishna and his associates and the land of Vrindavan. This is called Leela smaran. It involves visualizing in particular Leelas of Krishna in Vrindavan in great detail, establishing the setting, the desh, the time, the kala, and the characters. Kala, desh, and patra. Characters means person. Mantras are used to assist the visualization. In our case, generally people chant the Maha Mantra while they do meditating on Leela. The mind has to be withdrawn from the ordinary world and completely concentrated on and absorbed in the Leela of Krishna. This is the goal. When this process of Leela Smarana is perfected, the Astakali Leela appears directly before the eyes of the sadhaka. Jai Ho. That'll be a good day. Good day at the office. You see the Leela right before your eyes. The sadhakas must rely on the descriptions of Radha Krishna's Leelas in books until they have perfected their own technique, where they enter samadhi and see the Leela directly, sakshat darshan. That's you're talking now. This is perfection. This is premi bhaktas. This is not an ordinary stage. At this stage, one's own direct vision becomes the major source of knowledge of the Leela. Because sometimes people ask me, do the Leelas always go on the same way, every day the same way you read it? I said, no, they can change Leela at any time. Like, for example, you know, you read Madhyan Leela, they do so many Leelas, there's Bambihar, there's Holi, there's Julan, there's water, Jalkeli, there's Pashan, there's dice, throwing dice. But in the midday of Radha Krishna, at breakfast, Krishna says, we should go to Vrindavan. It's a hot day, let's go swimming all day. So you may go 5 hours in Yamuna, off of Keshi Ghat, and all that area, just splashing and staying in water for 5 hours. No Holi, no Bambihar. No anything, no drinking honey wine, anything. So they're not robots, you know. Robots, you put the program in every day, it does the same thing. So that gives you a template for meditation. But the meditation can take off at any time. And that's what we read about the siddhas. The siddhas are meditating. One experience explained, the siddha was meditating and putting a ring around his finger. 8 o'clock in the morning, he was dressed, 7 o'clock in the morning, dressing Radharani, and 5 o'clock in the evening, he came out of meditation, and he was still putting rings on Radharani's fingers. All day long, he was meditating and dressing Radharani. He just saw her hand, and he went into samadhi. It's inconceivable, unimaginable, but it's true stories and true experiences. This author of this book says, when I question Babaji about his Leela Smaran and about his source of knowledge of Leela, he replied this. He says, Radha Krishna's Leela is infinite. Books like Bhagavatam, Govinda Leela Amrita only give some examples of the Leela. In the beginning, one needs the support of such books, but when the sadhaka becomes perfect, he will see Leela directly. That's pretty good experience. The practitioner entering the visualized category is entering the visualized Leela. The sadhaka of Raghunatha Bhakti is not meant to stop at merely visualizing the Leela. They're supposed to enter as an active player. That's why we have our Nitya Seva. We're not spectators in the audience, we're players on the field. We're not watching a cricket match. We're down there swinging and hitting the ball. Fanning Radharani. Five Sakis fanning Radharani. I read this book so many times, Bhavan Sarasangra, I missed that. Page 2, 1, 3. Don't forget it. Five Sakis fanning. It reminds me of Krishna draws Aditya Teela. He was cold, so 12 sun plants came to warm him up. So it's the opposite extreme. He was cold. He was in the moon in the wintertime, it's too cold. He went to draws Aditya Teela. Draws means 12. 12 Adityas, 12 forms of sun. 12 sun plants came and shined on him. So here, 5 Sakis are surrounding Radharani fan here. Cool down, Radharani. Amazing. That's Sringa Vendamrita, that entry also. The mantra, the practitioner mantra sadhana also practices meditating on Yogapit. Yogapit is a place of union. It's a place where Radha and Krishna come together for the occasion of union and for arti. And all the devotees come together. It's like a meeting place. Yoga means meeting place. It's the occasion of union for the bhakta and the divine couple. One Babaji told me in Vrindavan, when I asked him to define Yogapit, he said, Yogapit is a place of union between Bhagavan and the Bhakta, particularly the union of Bhagavan and Radha, the highest representative of Bhaktas. Since Yogapit may occur anywhere in Braj, potential Yogapits are endless. However, three are main Yogapits in Vrindavan. One Yogapit is Gupta Kund in Nandagram, one Yogapit is Lalita's Kunj in Radhakund, Madhyanalila, and Ratri Lila is Yogapit in Govindasthali, Radhagovinda Mandir. It's called the Maha Yogapit. This book describes it like this. It's not exactly correct, but he said, the first is Krishna's house in Nandagram. It's near his house, not really his house. Where Radha Krishna come in early morning, Radha comes to serve food to Krishna. The second is Radhakund, where the divine couple meet for romance and sport in the water. The third is the forest of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna meet at night to embrace in loving union. All these meetings of Radha and Krishna require the assistance of Radha's sakis and manjris. The sadhaka must become familiar with the characters and environment and other details of the yoga pit. When you get initiated and sit there, you're taught how to meditate in yoga pit. Stay tuned. One thing you got going for is eagerness. That's a good quality. I'm so happy to see that in you. It's like a 9-year-old kid waiting for Christmas. 9-year-old kid waiting for Christmas gifts. Oh, crazy. Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana begins as a mechanical imitation of spontaneous external expressions or anubhavs, or of a general role exemplified by a sakya braj, like Rupa Manjari, Tulsa Manjari. With the belief that this procedure can produce the actual experience that Tulsi Manjari is having. So what it means in simple English, by meditating on the same form and moods and sevas of Tulsi Manjari, Rupa Manjari, eventually we'll have that form, we'll have those sevas, we'll have those same moods, will come to us by their mercy. That's the idea. As sadhana develops, the sadhaka gradually refines their identity of the siddharupa. It continues until it's perfected. One actually becomes the character defined in his siddha ekadashbhava siddhadeya. At this point, when you realize that this is me, this siddhadeya is my eternal identity, then we get direct access to our Krishna's lila. And then the actions of the sadhaka are no longer conscious and mechanical, but they are free expressions of true inner experience, anubhava. The perfect state means that one participates fully in the ultimate reality of Brazil. That's it for today. We participate fully in Brazil. Without meditating on Brazil, we're in Brazil, serving in Brazil. Now, Brazil is an object of meditation. As we advance, attain perfection, we're in Brazil. Brazil is our reality. Now our reality is, you know, what we see in our front of our face. And we... Oh, forgot too long. So, that's it for this class, Tasting Bhakti Rasa Manjari Sadhana. May you stop it.